Fellow time travelers. If you missed last week's sermon, we're in the second week of a series called Sacred Time Travel, which is going backward to grow forward. And so each week in this series, we find ourselves kind of traveling through time to help us learn some things, to help us grow closer in our walk with Jesus. I've been thinking about charging admission for this because time travel, you think you'd have to pay a lot of money to time travel. And you know, in this situation, you don't have to, you know, travel the speed of light or enter the quantum realm. You can just sit back and enjoy. You may get a little motion sickness, but that's about all you're going to get. So, let's time travel. Now, last week, we time traveled by going back and we saw Noah experience the first rainbow. We saw Joseph interpreting dreams. We saw Joshua leading his people into the promised land. We also dropped into a doctor's office in the 1970s and even journeyed a few days into the future, which is now our past. Gets confusing after a while. But we did learn a few things. We learned that God puts a high priority on remembering. We must remember things in a way that sees ourselves as part of God's continuing story. The Bible was about a bunch of great, wonderful people, but were flawed and sinful and all that stuff too. And now we are God's people. We are continuing the story. So we must remember in a way that's just more than just cognitive, you know, like, okay, I remember that. We must remember in a way that's engagement and in living out what we have learned, what we know to be true. We also learned that God experiences, it was even in the lyrics this morning in one of our earlier songs, how God experiences all time now, in the future, in the past. He lives outside of time. So he experiences everything at once. It's called the eternal now. Now, we don't live in the eternal now, but to get a glimpse of what it's like for God to experience it all, past, future, present. And in some way or another, to see ourselves as connected to the past and the future, because we are. We are both a brief moment in history, but we are also eternal being made for infinity, really. Okay, so you ready to time travel? Here's our first wormhole for the day, if you guys are into science fiction. Okay, so it's about to time warp. Here we go. Let's time warp. Ready? Okay, maybe not. Okay, there we go. We're time warping. Okay, so this is where we left off last week. We're in separate doctor's offices, and we are each looking at an ultrasound of a fetus. We look over to see the pregnant lady to discover that that pregnant lady is our own mother. So the fetus we are looking at is our own. We've traveled back to the very early stages of our life. And so we see ourselves. The doctor is telling us that we are learning more and more about memory and about what it's like for a fetus at even the fourth and sixth week of gestation, that a baby's brain is able to record in some way or another events and feelings or pictures or something that accompany those events. It's amazing, the science behind that. To think that even at 4 weeks of development, there is something starting to form that will be remembered in some way or another going forward. So as we listen to the doctor explain all this, something else amazing happens, and a light appears in the room. And an angel appears before us and tells us that they are going to be our guide in today's time travels. And the angel says to us, you know, not every child is wanted by their parents. It doesn't take much effort for a baby, still even in the womb, to pick up on that. Feelings of rejection can start early. I guess you can form your own opinion if they start that early or not. But they start early. And feelings of rejection can be hard to overcome. Even the youngest of lives can be wounded and need healing. So the angel tells us we're now going to a place where the physical world and the spiritual world are starting to intermix. And so it's time to travel again. Let's see how we're doing. It's time to travel again. Time travel is slow, let me tell you that. This is the moment where God first created you. At the beginning of our own life. We've gone back even further. Fertilization, yes, but so much more. This is the hand of God making you and me. Have you ever thought about that? And the angel says, for God created your inmost being. You were knit together in your mother's womb. Praise God because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God's works are wonderful. You should know that full well. And the angel then says, the Lord made you a little lower than the angels, and he crowned you with glory and honor. See, as we as Christians have to believe this, you were wanted and you are wanted by God. Whether your parents purposely had you, whether you were in some ways an accident, whether they were glad that you came or whether they weren't glad you came, God wanted you. And you were created in his image. Not every creature on this earth can say that. They're all part of God's wonderful creation. But we are created in God's image. And that is special. And that knowledge and the remembrance of that knowledge can change your identity. God wanted you in this world. You need to know that. You need to believe that. Okay. Looks like we're ready for another time warp. Let's see if time warp's getting speedier. All right. We jump ahead to see ourselves at age 5. Our father, though, is yelling at us. We're not so sure what we did that was so bad. But by the looks of things, it was pretty bad. He lets loose with a barrage of harsh comments about acting like a baby, needing to grow up, learn to do things on our own. And we are looking at our 5-year-old self take all that in with limited understanding. And a tear starts to form in that 5-year-old's eye. And shame in some way starts to form in that child, in you, in me. And the angel speaks and says, oh, if only they would obey God's word. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Well, no parent is perfect. Almost every child discovers a moment when their parent either says they are bad, or the child interprets what they're saying as if they are bad. And parents have a hard time not taking out their own dissatisfaction with their lives at times on their kids. Because sometimes, as a parent, it's just so much. And we let a little bit of that out on them. And kids often have a hard time interpreting parent choices as something that is not their fault. So they take it in. They internalize that. Okay. Let's time warp a little bit more now. Let's time warp. Here we go. We are now together in some open area. And we look up to see a man teaching. And it doesn't take long for us to figure out that that man is Jesus. After Jesus has finished talking, children start to rush forward to him. But men are trying to shoo him away, shoo them, the kids, away. Hey, no, 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 don't bother Jesus. And Jesus stops those men and he says, no, 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 truly I tell you, anyone who, he says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And he says, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And kids now are starting to climb on him. And he's laughing with them, and he's joking with them, and he's tickling them, and he's blessing them. And then something amazing happens. We see the five-year-old self that we just left, that just got shamed by their dad, enter the picture with these other kids. And Jesus sees our five-year-old selves, and he says, come, come forward. And we hesitantly come forward to him, and he draws us up into his arms. And his words overcome the words of our earthly father. And we are not ashamed of who we are anymore. We are affirmed of who God made us to be. The angel looks at our adult self and he says, this is always one of my favorite parts of the journey. Okay, time to keep jumping. Let's go ahead and jump. Go ahead and jump. Remember that 80s song? So we're all separated again, different directions. The angel takes us forward. We jump 10 years into the future. And we see our awkward adolescent selves looking in the mirror. And the angel speaks to us and he says, it was at this point in your life where you started telling yourself you were ugly. And it's time for the angels to shed a tear here. And the angel says, do you know how the enemy feeds off those words? Ugly. Because attacking the self-worth of a teen can successfully cripple them for decades to come. After all, people naturally tend to blame themselves for things. We naturally tend to remember the negative more than the positive. And the enemy, the enemy does a great job of helping us internalize and hold on to those thoughts. And it all adds up to a lethal combination. And in some way or another, we put a curse on ourselves. And that curse inhibits God's working in our life. When you tell yourself too many things in life, over and over and over, that are not of God, and you start to believe them, and you start to just embrace those things, you will have a terribly hard time remembering you are in God's image. For some, telling themselves they are ugly is what they say. Others, it's I am stupid or I am no good or whatever else. As a teenager, as an adolescent, you began to form when you looked into the mirror and you said to yourself, and the angel says to us, the problem with people is you have two groups of people. In one group, you have the people who think all these lies and they're growing up doesn't play any part in their adult life anymore, and all that's unimportant now because it's in the past. And how wrong they are. However, you've got this other group of people who've internalized it so bad and so much a part of them that they think now God's patience and forgiveness won't apply to them anymore. They think they've gone beyond God's grace. They don't understand how great God is. And the angel quotes the scripture again. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion and they had wasted away in their sin. Yet he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love he relented. And he caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. What most people don't realize is that we need to go back to be able to go forward. You must forgive yourself. You must allow God to forgive you. You may have to forgive parents, others, adults who hurt you or even mistakenly hurt you. Because otherwise the curse continues. We need to forgive ourselves as a toddler. We need to forgive our parents or whoever else gave us a sense of condemnation at that early age. They are fallen people just like us. And I wonder, as I read more materials on this subject, if something has even been formed in the womb inside some of us that gives us a sense of rejection going forward. Oh, how we need to hear the words of love from Jesus. Oh, how we need to believe we are made in God's image. Yes, sinful, yes, all that stuff is true, and we're going to get into that. But God made you. God formed you. He wanted you. And he made you a little lower than the angels. It's time to jump. Okay, most of you, if you're of a certain age, you're jumping back in time. But if a few of you, you're going to jump ahead, because we're going to jump to about 18 years of life, in our 18-year-old selves. You're back in your bedrooms, and you lay on your bed, and you stare up at the ceiling. And the angel says, this is the moment right after you made the worst choice of your life. Because at this point, it wasn't just a mistake. It was a purposeful choice to do what you knew was wrong. You chose something, and now you're facing the guilt, the humiliation, and the consequences of that action. So much for being an adult, right? And the angel says, I wish every kid could go back and see their parent when they were a teenager. That would make them feel so much better about themselves. As they were just an awkward, strange machine to. And the angel says to us, you know, when people hit this moment, when they first really mess up, it's so critical what a person does at that point. Because for some of them, they start to form an anger, a defensiveness that takes them away from God. Others form this, further develop this sense of shame and guilt that they don't know how to deal with. And it takes them away from God. For others, it causes them to be remorseful and humble. And now that God may yet use. How will they interpret what they've done? How will they move forward with what they are ashamed to say that they have done? This decides the course of the future. What does God want them to choose? We're going to get into more of that next week. I've time traveled enough, but for today. But I have a guest speaker who's going to share a little bit about her journey with some of these things, personal, true things that she's dealt with that relates to today's message. Jen, if you're ready, I'm ready.
Way outside my comfort zone, but here we are. All right. Okay. I have learned in the past few years how truly loving and present God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are. God earnestly means what he says many times in the Bible. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'd like to share a small part of my journey that I am hoping will give you encouragement and desire to go after your own healing. My mother's pregnancy with me was not planned. I'm not sure what the circumstances of her life were. I do know she was 42 years old, had been divorced 10 years, and had three other children who did not live with her. She had been married to an abusive man and had been in and out of psychiatric facilities most of her adult life. From my medical records, it seems that my birth had been delayed and there was doubt about my viability, but I was born healthy and strong. For the first years of my life, I was alternately in foster care and living with my mother in downtown Buffalo. When I turned 4 years old, I went to live with my aunt and uncle on a farm near Springville, New York. I would be their ninth child. My biological mother died when I was 7, and I was officially adopted at age 12. My life with my aunt and uncle, who were now mom and dad, was wonderful. I grew up loving country life and learned to love nature and all things animal. When I was 11, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and after 3 very difficult years of chemotherapy, she died when I was 14. 4 months later, my grandmother, whom I loved very much, passed away as well. My life was never the same after this point. I realize now that my mom had sheltered me, all that was negative about my dad. My life between the ages of 14 and 18, without my mom, were years of mere survival. I learned from dad that I was not a good person, that I was not of value, I was defective. I was here to serve others, and I was responsible for the happiness of those around me. He was abusive in every way, but it is his words that I remember the most. I made it through high school and began college. My dad became ill and died several months into my freshman year. And although I was legally adopted, my dad did not have a will. So the estate was sealed, leaving me without a home. I did not have a close relationship with my adoptive family, so I was on my own. Up to this point, I was not to blame for the difficult things in my life, but I started to make bad decisions of my own. I became involved with a man 9 years older than me. Not a big difference unless you are 18 and unless he is married. I knew this relationship was wrong, and it wasn't long before I knew I couldn't continue. I had tried to leave several times, but my sense of responsibility for his emotional and physical well-being held me captive. Finally, I could stay no longer. I was preparing to enroll for my second year of college and move into student housing when I found I was pregnant. I could see no other option than staying and raising my baby. Eventually, we married and had 2 more children. At this point, I had chosen to take my own road. I knew I had turned my back on God by my choices I had made, and that it was my job to make it through. I continued for the next 14 years, choosing to bury the wounds from my past, the wounds I had endured, as well as the wounds I had inflicted on others. My motto was, the past was the past, can't change it, can't fix it, just need to keep moving. Keep moving, that is, until you can't. Now a single mom of 3 daughters, I came to the end of myself, the end of my ideas and my ways. I truly received Jesus as my Lord and Savior in 2001. I can't in this short time even begin to explain what the Lord has done in my life since that day. The road has not always been easy, but I did not walk it along alone. God did not leave me, not one single day. Even as I walked these next years with God, I still would have feelings of doubt, inadequacy. I would make poor choices and have difficulty in relationships because of not knowing who I was in Christ. Many of my emotions and feelings were still in bondage. bound to the lies I learned and believed as a child. Most of us have learned as we grow up to forget the past. Let bygones be bygones. Time heals all wounds. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. These are lies. These are lies from the enemy of our souls, and they keep us in bondage. What I have learned in the past 4 years is that there is healing, and the healing does not come from running or from burying our wounds. Healing comes from remembering and unburying all that we have determined to keep hidden. But it is not remembering on your own or by yourself, but by walking through these wounds with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Through healing prayer, with Jesus holding my hand and the Holy Spirit as my guide, I was able to see and feel from a different perspective, the perspective of Jesus. I am able to see that he never left me. He was there with me through every tragedy I endured, every mistake I made, and even every wound I inflicted on others. In rewalking and unearthing my past, I am able to see the fingerprints of God and his provision all throughout my life. I knew I needed to forgive the people in my life who had hurt me, and I knew that Jesus died to forgive me of my sin. But the part that took me so many years to learn is that he wanted me to forgive myself. He wanted me to forgive that 18-year-old girl that I had held in contempt so many years. He wanted me to see things through his eyes, his heart. He didn't start loving me when I accepted him. He has always loved me. He wants me to see myself as he sees me now and in my imperfect past. Only when we learn how great is his love for us, a love not bound by time, a love that is eternal, with no beginning and no end, only then can we be truly free and whole and begin to live in the fullness, peace, and true purpose that he has for each and every one of us.
I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. A couple things. That little blue sheet in your bulletin, that's what today's message was all about. That's what we're learning to bring here. That's what we're learning to... what God wants to speak through this church, to speak into the hearts of people who are broken and lost and wounded. And that God is still calling us back. And God is still wanting to redeem all those failures, all those lies, and make us new. God is still changing lives. We're going to be part of that. We're going to be part of that here. If at any point during this closing song you feel like you want to come forward, or you just want to sit quietly and pray about this in your own life and your own processing of your wounds, if you need someone to pray with at some point, we'd be more than glad to do that. This is what we do. This is what we want to do. But you just have to be bold enough to let us know. The healing you crave for your wounds, emotional, spiritual, is offered through the blood of Jesus. You maybe got a glimpse of it this morning, and there is more healing offered to you. Go about being healed and live differently and live new. Have a great week.